It's good to be back. As most of you know, we've been gone for about 10 days, and it was a great time away. It wasn't great to be away from you guys, but it was a great time away, and it was good for me personally because I really focused a lot on my prayer, on my prayer life. And I feel like over the last months, and even I can even go into the last year, 2 years, my prayer life just hasn't been awesome. And so I really set out, I was determined that I was going to study out prayer, and I was going to change some of my thoughts and my heart and some of the ways that I think about prayer. And read some books that were incredible. Read this one book called Power Through Prayer by an old guy named E.M. Bounds. I mean, this was written in the 1800s, but I'll tell you, it was powerful. And it changed a lot of my thinking about prayer. And, you know, I've been trying to pray an hour a day. This morning I prayed a couple hours. And it's been incredible. And I feel like my walk with God is at a different place today than where it was when I left. But I just want to share some things I've been learning about prayer, and hopefully they'll encourage you. But, you know, we need to be a prayerful bunch.
Amen.
We need to be men and women who, more than anything else, we're dedicated and we're devoted to prayer.
Amen.
Because we're not doing this. Yes. This isn't us. If the world is going to be won, if the nations are going to hear the word of God, it's going to be because of us getting down on our knees and praying to God.
Amen.
It's not going to be through our efforts. Uh-huh. It's not going to be through our hard work. It's going to be because we are depending on God. And we need to depend on God more and more every day.
Amen.
We need to walk closer with God every day. You know, one of the things I've been praying about is to learn something new about God every day. And God's been opening my mind. I've been meditating on God's Word. I've been meditating on, I've been going through 1 Corinthians 13, what love is, you know, love is. And I've been thinking and praying through each one of those characteristics as it relates to God. And it's just opening my mind and my heart about who God is, and I just feel like I'm drawing closer and closer to God. It's incredible. But really, prayer is where our characters change.
Amen.
Prayer is where our hearts change. Mm-hmm. Prayer is where our life changes.
Amen.
It's not out in the battlefield, although that helps, right?
Yep.
But it's in the closet. It's in the time that we have praying to God.
Amen.
So I hope some of these things encourage you and help you out this morning. I feel like if our lives and our marriages and our families and our Bible talks and the church as a whole and the movement as a whole, if we're not devoted to prayer, we're going to go nowhere. I mean, if you want to change your marriage, you want to change your life, you want to change your family, it's going to be through you getting on your knees. And one thing that, you know, I feel sometimes in the morning just really anxious. I don't know if you can relate to that. I just feel like, man, there's so much to do. So, you know, my mind just starts racing in the morning with all the stuff I've got to take care of.
Yeah.
And I think one thing this trip has shown me is that I've got to just settle down.
Right.
I've got to allow God to settle my heart down and understand and remember and realize that if I don't have time with God, if I'm not praying to God as a first priority of the day, then it doesn't matter how much I'm going to try to get done. It's just not going to, it's not going to be as effective as it would if I were to pray.
Right.
So this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. Like I said, you know, we need to depend on God more and more, and we need to honor God.
Amen.
By showing Him that that we're dependent on Him. That gives God glory.
Amen.
When we don't depend on ourselves, but we depend on God for what we're doing every day. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at some promises of prayer. to begin with. Ephesians chapter 3. We've got to remember the promises of prayer. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us." God's power is working in us every day. Yes. It says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Look what he says here in verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." You know, God can do more than we ask. He can do more than we imagine. You know, I think sometimes we have this, we have kind of imagination cramping where we just can't think. You know, we can't, trying to imagine, but I can't, you know. We need to imagine big. Just take some time and just imagine what God can do. And the Bible says that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? That God will do anything you ask him to, according to his will?
Yes.
Well, what's his will? His will is that you live for him. His will is that you have an incredible marriage. His will is that you have an awesome family. His will is that your kids go to heaven. His will is that you bear fruit. God says, Jesus says here, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." You've got to believe that. Look in John 15. In verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." God's saying, wish. Just start wishing. Wish list. Have a wish list. He says, "I will do whatever you wish." Is that incredible?
Yeah.
"This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Well, here's a good key on what to wish for. Much fruit. God says, if you wish for much fruit, you'll get it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You got to believe this. Mm-hmm. God says, whatever you ask for. Look in verse John 15 and verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that God will give you whatever you ask for in the name of Jesus? That's what it says.
Amen.
Whatever you ask for. God's saying, listen, here's a check. I've signed it at the bottom. Fill it out. Whatever you want, take it. It's yours. That's what God's saying here. It's the big blank check. Whatever you want, whatever you wish for, whatever you imagine, it's yours. The incredible promises of God. God wants us to do phenomenal things.
Amen.
God wants us to do things that just blow our minds.
Amen.
Yep.
We've got to believe the amazing promises of prayer. And then there's the power of prayer. The amazing things in the Old Testament that happens when men pray. Look in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. This is amazing. The Gibeonites asked Joshua, they said, come on, Joshua, we need your help. He says, the Amorites, all their kings have gathered together. They're coming down. They're attacking us. Joshua, we need you. And we need the army of Israel. And so Joshua marches from Gilgal to Gibeon. And it says they have an incredible victory. It says they not only slaughter the Amorites, but then God hails down, he throws down hail, and it kills more of the Amorites than they slaughtered by hand. God's for his people.
Yep. Yes.
And then look in verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jeshar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day when the Lord listened to man. Surely, the Lord was fighting for Israel. I mean, Joshua's prayer here wasn't just a little mealy-mouthed prayer, you know. Give me my daily bread.
Yeah.
So Joshua was praying that the sun would stand still. Joshua was praying that the clockwork of the universe would change.
Uh-huh.
That the whole cosmos would change. I mean, we know how intricate the universe is, right?
Yeah.
Joshua was praying, God changed the entire clockwork of the universe right here. And it says, God did it.
Amen.
God made the sun stay in the sky uh-huh. for a full day.
Amen.
So that Israel could have a victory.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then it says, look what it says. There has never been a day like it before or since. What? When the sun stood still? No. When the Lord listened to a man. I mean, powerful, powerful prayer. Earth-shattering prayer.
Yes.
Look over in 1 Kings 18.
Roger.
Is this good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
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 First Kings 18. You remember the story. Elisha on Mount Carmel. Right? He says to Ahab, hey, bring your 450 prophets from of Baal and your 400 prophets of Asherah. Bring them up to Mount Carmel along with the entire nation of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, we're not just talking about a little Bible talk going up on the mountain.
Uh-huh.
The entire nation. It must have taken days for that to happen.
Yes.
And so all the nation of Israel came up to Mount Carmel. And the 850 false prophets. And Elijah says, okay, you build an altar. And then you call down from your God and for the sacrifice. You know? And so they built this altar. He gave them an ox. They slaughtered it. Built this altar. And then it says from morning until noon, they called on their God. And about noon, Elijah started kind of taunting them. Hey, where is your God? Is he on a trip? Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's busy doing something. Yeah, maybe he's rusty. Right? It says, the people of Israel, come here. He builds an altar. He takes 12 stones, each one representing a tribe of Israel. He builds this altar. He builds this huge trench, fills it with seed. Puts firewood on the altar, slaughters this ox, puts it on the altar. And he says, take water and just pour it on the altar. So they did. They took a huge amount of water, poured it on the altar. And he said, do it again. He took more water, on the altar. He said, do it a third time. They put more water. It filled the trench. Everything was soaked. And then look what he says. In verse 36. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts again, back again. And what happened? Then the fire of the Lord fell. It burned up the sacrifice, the wood. It burned up the stones. Must have been a little warm there. It burned up the soil. It lapped up all the water in the trench. And then you know what Elijah did? He went and he slaughtered 850 false prophets for turning Israel against God. Powerful, powerful prayer. Look over in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, it says, Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. He prayed and fasted for 3 weeks. And nothing happened in 3 weeks. On the 24th day, a messenger appears to, an angel appears to Daniel. Didn't appear to any of his other buddies, but it appeared to Daniel. It says in verse 10, Daniel 10. In verse 10, it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, of the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. You know what the messenger's saying to Daniel? He's saying the first day you got down on your knees, God sent me to you, but I was contained, I was held back by an angel, by a demonic angel, who held me for 21 days. And then I called Michael, the powerful angel, and he came, took care of this guy, and now I'm here. But what's he saying here? He's saying, when you started praying, Daniel, there was war in heaven. There was a war in heaven. This was no small prayer. There was a war in heaven. I was contained in heaven. I was contained for 21 days before I was able to come and answer your prayer. I mean, when we pray, we're praying. There's war in heaven. What's Ephesians 6 say? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where prayer takes place. Prayer is powerful. Exodus 17.
Come on, bro. Get stuff, bro.
Exodus 17.
Come on, bro.
We don't have time to read through this, but in verse 8, it was when the Amalekites, were fighting Moses and the Israelites. Remember that? And so every time that Moses lifted his staff, they were winning. But then when he lowered his staff, the Israelites would lose. Lift it, winning. So he got guys to hold up his arms. He said, man, this works. This is amazing. This works. So he had guys standing and holding up his arms to win the battle.
Remember, we acted that out.
That's right.
Like 6 years ago.
Really?
Oh.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, that staff didn't represent prayer. That staff represented the authority of God. And when that staff went up, God's people were victorious. And that staff came down, God's people weren't victorious. The power of prayer. Guys, there's incredible power in prayer. So, you know, we want to have prevailing prayer, don't we? I mean, we want to be men and women of prayer. We want our prayers to make a difference.
Amen.
So, there are four things that will help our prayers make a difference. Number one, we've got to understand the authority we have as believers. We've got to understand the power that we have as believers. I wish Chris were here. But, is he here? But you know, a policeman, right? I think we understand the power that's there in prayer. But I don't think we remember the authority we have in prayer. You know, when the policeman is out directing traffic, these guys down on the downtown directing traffic,
Yes. They
don't have the power to stop cars, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're out there, yeah! Cars would go right over them. But what do they have? They have the authority. You put that whistle in his mouth and...
Yeah, that's right.
Direct. He has authority.
Yep.
Amen.
He has the authority to direct traffic.
Amen.
You know, in the Gospels, the training that the disciples got, when Jesus was training the disciples, it was basically authority training. It was training to teach the disciples that they had authority.
Yeah.
That Jesus had all authority. But that they had authority as Jesus' followers. How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Oh, good to see you.
Good morning, guys.
Come on, bro.
All
right.
You know, so it was authority training. Remember Mark chapter 4, right? It's the disciples are in a boat. A violent storm rages. And what's Jesus do? I mean, the disciples are scared to death.
Yep, yes.
They're like, Jesus, aren't you? I mean, don't you care about us? We're going to die in this thing. And Jesus says, you know what? Quiet down. And the storm calms. I mean, this was not just a storm. This was a storm that caused seasoned fishermen to fear for their lives. This was an incredible storm. Jesus says, quiet, be still. The storm calms. Authority over nature. Then go to Mark 5. And we remember the healing of the demon-possessed man. Right? This guy, he arrived ashore. This guy sees Jesus, and he starts running at Jesus, screaming and yelling at Jesus. Now, this is a guy who we find later on, he wasn't possessed by one demon. He was possessed by how many?
12
demons. A legion of demons. This guy wasn't just possessed. He had the most severe kind of possession that you can get. His life was ruined. They tried to chain him. He broke the chains. No one could subdue him. His life was ruined. And yet what did Jesus do? He said, come out of him. And the demons left him.
Yep.
authority training. If you look in, or think back on his way, little farther in Mark chapter 5, on his way to heal the little girl who was sick. She was on her deathbed. And as he was walking along, this lady came up to him and touched his cloak. And the Bible says that she'd been sick for 12 years. She'd seen a number of doctors. She had this bleeding illness. And it said she saw all these doctors. She was under the care of all these doctors. And it just got worse. And yet she touched Jesus, the hem of his garment. She was healed. This was not just a sick lady. She had an incredible illness that just got worse and worse and worse. And yet Jesus healed her. And then Jesus gets to the little girl's house. And she's already died. And all the people were there and they're looking at Jesus and they even start laughing at him. And Jesus says, "Rise." And she got up. Wouldn't you love to have been there?
Amen.
Whoa! Yeah. That would have been incredible. Yeah. Jesus had that kind of authority. Uh-huh. That's the prelude to Mark chapter 11. Look over in Mark chapter 11.
Come on, Rod.
You know, in the disciples are thinking, "Man, who is this guy? My goodness. Calms the storm, heals this demon-possessed guy that no one can even get near. Heals this lady who's been ill for 12 years, bleeding to death, literally. Raises this little girl from the dead. Who is this guy?" Jeez. Mark chapter 11. In verse 20. It says, "In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.' 'Have faith in God,' Jesus answered. 'I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus again says, "It will be done for you. It's yours." Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine reads. It says, "It will be done for you." He says, "Have faith in God." Verse 22. Uh-huh. You know what our problem is so often? We have faith in our faith. Uh-huh. God says, "Don't have faith in your faith." We think, "Oh, our faith, my faith is so weak. Oh, faith." Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Faith in God that can do amazing things.
Uh-huh.
He says, go say to this mountain, go throw yourselves into the sea.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you pray with that kind of authority? Mm-hmm. He's not just saying here, mountain, kind of walk yourself over there if you would and just kind of take a dip, you know. He's saying, no, you go throw yourself into the sea. Mm-hmm. That's the authority that Jesus says we have. Yeah. That's how we need to be praying. We need to be praying with that kind of authority. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It says God has put everything under the authority of Jesus for his church, for you, for me. Everything.
Amen.
Under the authority of Christ. That's phenomenal authority that we've been given. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, it talks about how we're reigning on the earth. We reign on the earth. God has given us authority on the earth. In Luke chapter 10, we won't turn there, we don't have time. Luke chapter 10 verse 18, it says, Jesus says, I've given you authority over the powers of Satan. Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. I mean, God's church, disciples, we have authority.
Yep.
And when we pray, we tap into that authority. Mm-hmm. When we pray in Jesus' name. You know, a policeman has in and of himself, doesn't have a uniform, has no authority. You can get in shorts and a shirt. You can be a policeman for 25 years. Get in shorts and a shirt and go downtown and try to direct traffic, and people, all they'll do is yell at you and tell you to get out of the way. Right? But you put a badge on, put a whistle in your mouth, put a hat on, and all of a sudden, you've got authority.
Amen.
Right? But that's what we forget so often. We forget that we need to put on Ephesians 6. We need to put on the full armor of God. That's where we get our authority. God wants us to come to Him boldly. God wants us to pray to Him boldly. He doesn't want us to pray, well, I hope this happens. I hope you do this. God wants us to come. Listen, we're coming. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. Look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 in verse 13. Look what he says here. He says, and I will do whatever you ask. What's he say? In my name. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes when we pray, we just kind of tack on that little ending there. By the way, in the name of Jesus. Do you realize? When you pray in the name of Jesus, the authority that you carry. If you look through the book of Acts, it's amazing how many things were done in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold we have none, but in the name of Jesus be healed, right?
Okay.
Our conversion was in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's blow away when you look through Acts. and see how many things were done in Jesus' name.
Yep.
We've got to understand what it means when we pray in the name of Jesus. It's authority. We're saying to God, look, we're coming in the name of your son. Your son's honor is at stake here. We're praying in the name of Jesus, your son. Listen up. That's the kind of authority that we can go to when we pray. It's not just a semantic issue. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are unleashing the authority that we have as disciples to God's glory. We're praying in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We're saying, God, do it. In the authority of your son's name, do it.
Yeah.
God loves Jesus. And Jesus said, if you pray in my name, believe and it will be done for you.
Uh-huh.
And it brings God glory.
Amen.
When we pray in the name of Jesus and he answers, uh-huh, it brings God glory.
Amen.
You know, God is glorified.
Uh-huh.
That should make a difference in our prayer lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you start praying in the name, in the powerful name of Jesus,
uh-huh,
things will start moving.
Amen.
Things will start changing.
Amen.
Number two, specific prayer. We need to be praying, quantifying times, dates, people, colors. I mean, yeah. I've been praying some really specific prayers lately.
Mm-hmm.
And they may sound like kind of weird prayers, but uh-huh, I'm just trying to be as specific as I can. But you ever pray and you just pray these kind of prayers that are just really non-specific, and God, please be with so and so, and be with his wife, and be with this situation. That's not communicating anything to God, except that you really don't know if God can really answer it. That's what you're saying. God doesn't take that kind of prayer seriously. We need to pray specifically.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Specific situations. You know, one thing I've been praying for is I've been praying to meet, now this may sound weird, but I've been praying to meet two guys of a certain ethnicity who are over 6 foot tall and who make over $100,000 a year and baptize them by the end of the year. Why? Because I think our congregation needs a little help with the contribution, number one. And I want to see two men saved by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But we need to pray specifically for each other.
Uh-huh.
Pray specifically for the situations going on. Pray specifically for our kids and what their needs are.
Amen.
That's the kind of prayer. Do you think God really thinks you're serious when you just pray these kind of generalized prayer? God, I really believe you, but can you just make sure everybody everywhere is just okay? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
God doesn't believe that. He doesn't take that kind of prayer seriously.
Okay.
You know, the kind of prayer that God wants is the prayer that when it happens, it's like, whoa, God answered that prayer.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, we shouldn't feel that way. We should feel, yeah, God, I knew you were going to answer. But it's like, whoa, right? Those are the kind of prayers that we need to be praying. And specific praying, specific kind of prayers. And that's what God takes seriously. You know, it was Elijah on Mount Carmel. Says, God, here's the altar. Here's what I'm praying about. This is the place, the time. The time of sacrifice, and this is what I want you to do. Boom, done. That's the kind of prayers that God wants.
Amen.
You know, I think a lot of times our prayers can be like a roulette wheel. Well, you know, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't.
Uh-huh.
It's not the kind of prayer that God is looking for.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Acts chapter 4, it says when they finished praying, the room was shaken. That's the kind of praying that God is looking for. You know, when we moved to Syracuse and Britt became a disciple, she started praying. She had no friends in high school. And so she started praying. God, either help me convert somebody or move somebody in. Well, no one was converted right away, but God brought in a girl from Boston, moved to Syracuse, who was in her high school and became one of her best friends.
Amen.
Specific prayer. God, this is how I want you to do it. Please do it. You know? Like I said, I've been praying specifically. I've been praying specifically for each one of you. And so don't be surprised if something happens that you weren't expecting. But if you don't, pray specifically, you're doubting. You're doubting that God can do what He's called and what you've asked Him to do.
Amen.
If it's not specific.
Amen. Oh, don't worry, Roger. I'll be praying for you, Kramer, and Loretta.
Amen.
Amen.
The third thing we need to have powerful prayer is we need to have purity in our prayer.
Come on,
amen.
We need to be pure.
Amen.
You know, 1 John chapter 3. Actually, you know what? We're not going to look at these because we need to wind this down. I could go all day here. But write down 1 John 3:22, James 5:15. We will look at Proverbs 15:29. Look what it says in verse 29.
Proverbs what?
Proverbs 15:29. It says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." The prayer of righteous men. God will listen to the prayer of righteous men. You know, it says in James 5, Elijah was just like us. But he was a righteous man. And God answered his prayer. You know, he got depressed. He got discouraged, just like we do. It's hard to imagine that we're like Elijah, but he was like us. And except he was righteous, and his praying was powerful. It was effective. You know, a lot of times God doesn't answer our prayer because we just aren't pure. We aren't serious about sin. We're dabbling. We're kind of tootling around with sin. We're flirting with it, and you know, God doesn't take that kind of prayer seriously.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can on one hand be flirting with sin, and on the other hand say, "God, I'm serious about Your mission. I'm serious about Your will being done." Mm-hmm. That's like you can't say both of those things
right.
in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either you're striving to be pure, God, I'm confessing this sin. I'm talking about it. I'm getting rid of it. I'm striving to be pure. Then you can say, "God, I want Your will to be done. I'm all about Your will."
Yes.
Then God will answer your prayers. But, I mean, do you really think He believes you when you're tolerating sin in your life? When your life is not backing up what you're praying about?
Yeah.
Another great verse in Psalm 66 and verse 18. And then James 4. Turn over to James 4. In verse 3. It says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God?" He says friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Does the rest of your life back up what you're praying about? Does your life prove that you're really sincere and serious when you talk to God? If you know the Word of God and you don't do everything you can to obey it, The Bible says that your prayer is detestable before God. Are you really trying to follow His will in your obedience to the Scriptures? Are you following His will in your personal purity? You know, it says the Holy Spirit, sin grieves the Holy Spirit. It insults the Holy Spirit. It puts out the Spirit's fire. That's what sin does.
Yeah.
And we're to be praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be powerless in your prayer if you're flirting with sin. And then number four, persevering. And we're not going to turn there. Luke 18, where Jesus was teaching His disciples to always pray and never give up. Prove your sincerity.
Yep.
By your persevering.
Yeah,
verse 1. You know, when I was in Bombay years ago, Bombay has so many beggars. It's incredible. Every time you step out the door, immediately you're hit with people begging, begging for this, begging for that. The children are just flocking around you. And they're like, they're grabbing at you, they're picking at you, they're, you know, it's just like, whoa, stop it, leave me alone, you know, to the point where you're just giving them whatever you have, just get rid of them. I mean, they're really smart at begging. Jesus said that's what we need to be like in our prayer life. We need to be begging, we need to pray over and over and over and over again. And show God that we're really serious about what we're praying about. You know, in that scripture, He says, when the Son of Man comes back, will He find faith on the earth? I mean, Jesus said, will I even find faith when I return? Will I find a group of people who pray and 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 pray? Will I find faith on the earth?
Come on, Ralph.
It's a challenging passage. Crying out to God day and night. That's what our prayer lives need to be.
Amen.
If we really believe that we will get what we ask for, we'll just keep on praying. If
Amen.
We really believe.
Amen.
See, if you're having a problem in your prayer life,
uh-huh.
there's really only one reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because you don't believe.
Yeah.
You've really got to ask yourself, if you're struggling with prayer, you've got to ask yourself, do I really believe?
Uh-huh.
Do I really believe in the promises of God?
Yeah.
Do I really believe in God?
Amen. Amen.
Let's become prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's
become men and women who are like Jesus. You know, Jesus in the garden prayed
uh-huh.
and prayed. Prayed three times
yes.
to get His heart where it needed to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He just had to go back over and over again. So much so that His disciples fell asleep. But He just kept praying and pleading with God.
Amen.
And He did that so that He would get His heart right when to sacrifice for us.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to close out and just really take this time to remember Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
The master of prayer, who prayed early in the morning till late at night, prayed not for Himself,
uh-huh.
He prayed for us. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed that the world would be one, that people would become Christians and follow Him over and over and over again. So, as we partake in the fruit of the vine, represents His blood, and the bread that represents His body, let's be mindful of our Lord and Master. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You so much for this time. Please be with us. God, help us to take seriously the call to pray.
Yes.
Help us to be prayer warriors, Father. Help us to believe that what You say will happen.
Uh-huh.
Help us to believe that whatever we do won't take place if we're doing it on our own strength, and if we're doing it through our own our own wisdom or our own talent, whatever it is, Father, help us to believe that what we're doing will only happen when we're down on our knees. And help us to realize that Jesus was the master of prayer. Jesus prayed to you day and night, cried out to you day and night. And Father, help us to have that kind of prayer life in our life. We love you. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made. We thank you that he prayed for us. Didn't pray for himself or his needs. He prayed for us. And we're so grateful for him. In Jesus' name, our Lord, our Master. The power, the authority that comes through the name of Jesus. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.